So we're continuing to talk about fathers and mothers. This is part one of, I don't know how many parts, but it's the transition that God spoke very clearly to me when I was in Dover, Delaware at that round table. It's a transition that, as I'm looking at what people are speaking prophetically, you're seeing that word, okay, a lot, about how God is transitioning his church into something more powerful, something more relevant, but not in a manner of violating scriptures, but in fact pulling, I think, his church back more in line with the scriptures that sometimes we may have gotten out of line a little bit. I was talking to somebody last night, and I said, so what do you think if Paul was alive today and he came wandering through our churches? You know, I don't know, okay? But I know that we're in transition, and 2 weeks ago we started talking about the fathers and mothers, about having people in this church that want to raise sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters. Obviously, a number of you are raising sons and daughters, okay, in the natural, but I'm talking about spiritual sons and daughters. And if I just use the word father, I do that for brevity at sometimes, but it's fathers and mothers, okay, so that we understand that. And the kind of scripture that we're using to help us understand what it means to have a three-generation vision, because we don't want to just have a vision about Christian fellowship today, and we don't want to have just a vision about the next generation, but we want to have a vision for second and third generation from today, okay? We want to have fathers and mothers who are raising sons and daughters to be fathers and mothers so that they can raise sons and daughters, okay? To be fathers and mothers, and it just keeps going, but three generations. But 1 Corinthians 4:15 is what we've been kind of using as the kickoff, is what we talked a lot about out in Dover. Out of the ESV, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Okay, out of the New Living Translation. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you will have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. And then my favorite, which comes out of the Passion Bible. For although you could have countless babysitters in Christ. Did you hear that? Telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you're our Father, capital F, and that you're raising up fathers, little F, and mothers to shepherd your church, to bring people into fruition, to bring us all into what you have for us. So, Father, I pray that you would just be with me today as I speak. As always, I pray that all that is of you would pierce our hearts, and if there's anything that's not of you, it would fall on the floor in front of us. And the church said, amen. See, I agree with the scriptures. And that's good, isn't it? I agree that we have countless guides. We have all kinds of teachers wandering around. Some good, the good, bad, and the ugly, but we do. And we have all kinds of babysitters. Probably more babysitters than anything. More than we need. But we need more fathers and mothers. We need mentors. We need disciplers. And I know that term discipling can carry negative connotation. Back in the 70s when I was growing up in the Lord, there were some things going on that just started equating the word disciple with to the word control. But that's not what we're talking about, not in any way, shape, or form. See, the majority of the word father, little f, in Greek, means to procreate. Jacob knows what that means. Just look one person in front and Carolyn with a smile on her face. Okay? it's to be the father of. But F, father with a capital F in Greek, means a special title for God, one who combines aspects of supernatural authority and care for his people. This is an important word, father and father. Together, in the New Testament, talking the ESV, it's used 450 times. In the Bible, it's used 1,856 times, capital F and little f. See, spiritually speaking, when you take these two and put them together, fathers, little f, are to imitate, to emulate, to be like, to follow fathers, capital F, both male and female. We must, and let me repeat that, we must desire to want three generations, assuming the Lord doesn't return. Now, if he wants to come back while I'm speaking, that'd be perfectly fine with me. Won't have to spend money for lunch. But we need to want. We need to want ours. We need to have a vision for ours right here. We need to have a vision, too, for spiritual children, for those who are going to come after, for those of us who are fathers and mothers, which, as I said a couple weeks ago, all of us is, let me look. Yeah, all of us have the potential to be spiritual fathers and mothers. Not a person in this room. Not a person in this room doesn't qualify. Or could qualify. And so we can have spiritual grandchildren. Therefore, the vision of this church, the mission of this church, the culture of this church should reflect that. In everything we do, in every ministry, every use of gifts, everything that's resident within us, whether we're cleaning the bathroom, whether we're serving in a food line, whether we're teaching Kingdom Kids, which if you want to do that, I'm sure Pam won't say no. Whatever. Okay? We need to put that, and we need to start putting that in every person, that not only that they have value, but they will have value in raising others who have value. Our heart should always be to build the kingdom of God. Our heart should always be to see our Father glorified, capital F. And it all flows out of relationship. It all falls out of relationship. So let's look at this thing called a father and a mother a bit closer. And like I said, it's going to be over this week and over the next week or two or whatever it works out. So why do we need fathers and mothers instead of babysitters? Those of you who are parents, how many of you have ever employed a babysitter? Raise your hand. Okay. What do babysitters do? They come in, they say hi, they get some instructions, you go away, they deal with the kids' messes, take care of them while you're gone, you come back, you thank them, or you pay them, or whatever happens, and they go away. They're a hireling. You've hired them for a period of time to watch your kids. There's no expectation of growth. There is an expectation that they will take care of any messes made. You don't want to walk back in and your baby have dirty diapers and there's food all over the floor and the carpet and everything else. Okay? You expect them to take care of some things. But they're only there for a little while as a caretaker. Right? Now, what does a father do? What does a mother do? Yeah, they clean up the messes. But I'm sure as people raise their children, as their fathers and mothers, they're going to teach them not to make the messes. And they're going to teach them how to clean up the messes when they do make the messes. They're going to help them to grow and mature and hopefully grow closer to the Lord. And make less messes. And what's the motivation? The child's going to give him $5 a week? No. Because you love him. It's out of love. You see the difference? They're not there as a caretaker. They're there for the long haul. They're there ready and willing to have sleepless nights. They're there ready and willing to hold a child while it's crying, where a babysitter will do that until mom and dad get home, and then they'll hand it to them and rush out the door. I don't know, you know, but when my parents had babysitters, they were always glad to see my parents. I remember one babysitter, I thought she was going to leave in the midst of it, but that's beside the point. Do we? Because all of this begs a question, and this is a question. Do we, do all of us here in this room, all of us that might be listening at other times, want to see people grow, or would we rather see them just sit in their messes? I think I know your answer. I think every one of you, if you could answer anonymously, would say, no, I don't want them to sit in their messes. I want to help them grow. I want to help them mature. I want to help them become productive adults in society. I want to help them to become followers of Jesus. Don't you think? See, our goal must always be to cast seed. And hopefully the seed we produce will, or we cast, will produce 30, 60, 100-fold, as it talks about in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:8. Hopefully the seed causes people, our children, to walk into salvation. And what did Paul say in the scriptures we read there in Corinthians? That he became a father when he shared the gospel. We want to see people grow, yes, for ourselves, but also for our spiritual children and our spiritual grandchildren. We must always want those we are fathering to go farther than us. I guarantee that was Peter's goal. That was Paul's goal. That was all the apostles' goal. That was Jesus' goal. When he say, I'm leaving, but greater things than this are you going to do? Now, I've heard all kinds of teaching. It could be a number. It could be, who knows what it's in. But he had a heart that he wanted us to do great things, to do greater things. Now, understand something. I kind of alluded to this earlier, but it's extremely important. It's very, very important that we understand this point. Fathering, mothering is never, ever, ever about control. It's just not. It's about challenging your spiritual sons and daughters to grow and walk in all you share with them, assuming you're sharing scripture and blah, 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 things of God, to walk into all God has for them, to fly, to spread their wings and fly and explore new horizons in Christ, to dream bigger dreams than you've ever dared. I think I could talk to every parent here and say, do you want your child just to live the same life I did, or do you want them to go for more? Do you want them to go for the brass ring? Do you want them to grow more in Christ? I think I know what the answer is. Of course you do. You want them and challenge them to put on their Berean hats and to look at all the sides of everything, which is not just two. There's about 687 different sides to everything. I just pulled that number out of the hat, okay? But while always centering our fellowship and our path on Jesus and his gospel, or as Paul says in Galatians, on his gospel, which is one in the same. To help us not only learn, but to expand our spheres of influence. Do you believe that you can have influence in people's lives? I'm talking about good influence. I'm talking about godly influence. I'm talking about helping people to draw closer to the Lord, about influencing what they think about, that they shouldn't think about, or they shouldn't visit this negative site. Instead, they should spend time praying. You influence them. See, we don't want to just replicate CFJC. Whatever's going to be next after we're all dancing on the streets that are golden or whatever, we want it to be better, more spiritual, more powerful, more miracles, more salvations. We want it to grow. We want it to expand into more and more God's truth. You know, the end of John talks about how the earth couldn't hold all these books if they were written everything. I don't know about you, but these 66 books have a huge depth that for 40-something years I've been mining in them. And the more I mine them, the more I know I don't know, even though I know more. See, fatherhood, motherhood is a reason it's important for walls to come down between churches. What do I mean by that? See, I have fathers in my life from a variety of different backgrounds. I just named two others in the podcast, from the Word of Faith background, from the ELCA Lutheran Church background. And I have others from other backgrounds, okay? But you know what they're all doing? They're helping me to become more and more Christ-like, to understand how vast God is. Do you realize He's huge? I sometimes think He created the universe and whatever galaxies or whatever's out there because just little Earth couldn't hold Him. It's His footstool. He's bigger than all of that. We want to understand the vastness of God. But it helps me, it helps us by having fathers and mothers to walk in our God-given dreams. Because they're there encouraging us, edifying us, strengthening us, building us up, encouraging us to go deeper. See, that's one reason that Satan works so hard to isolate people, to isolate churches, to break relationships. Because he understands the power of unity. He understands the power of mothers and fathers encouraging sons and daughters to go farther. He understands the value of churches working together. That's why there's 4,000, 5,000, whatever there is, denominations. But remember, the goal is always to build the kingdom of God, to expand our church. But not only our church, the church's influence. But not to build our little kingdom. It's not about CFJC. This is where God's called me. This is where I'm going to function. But if my vision is only right here and it stops at the back of the wall and it doesn't include all the other believers, then I'm falling short. But I want to see the kingdom of God grow, which means I'm going to pray for other churches when I hear about issues. I'm going to pray for my friends that they're blessed. I'm going to pray that they have multiples of guests, that they have salvations. Because I want to see the kingdom of God grow. And he's going to do it because Psalm 127:1 says he'll do it. You know? Don't get me wrong. It's very important to be part of a local church. I believe that. Go back to my teaching on December 5th when I listed out 30-plus benefits of being involved in part of a local church. Starting with relationships. Relationships. But not just relationships. There are relationships that are built to help each other to go farther. There are relationships that call upon devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking the bread, communion, praying. Because there's great fruit from relationships, some of which enables us to father and to be fathered and to be mothered. Some of it is to become better fathers and mothers, and better mentors and disciples. We become more and more who we were created to be. We were never meant to be an island by ourselves. Fathering and relationships should and can go across church lines. I understand. First, we might have to get rid of competition. And there's a group of us that have been working on that for a very long time. And we will continue to do that. But that doesn't mean we water down what we believe. It just means that we don't use our theological and our doctrinal differences to justify not having relationships with each other, to build walls and to break fellowship with people here. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but Terry and I, there's a number of things we don't agree on theologically and doctrinally. Have you noticed how it's affected our relationship? It hasn't. It shouldn't. Here's the truth. When we get to heaven, we'll know who is right. And we really won't care. We just really won't care. But we all agree that Jesus is Lord. We all agree on the gospel. And that's where we need to plant and grow. See, the whole purpose of this is not to get other people to join our church. Now, if they're unchurched, invite them. Yeah. Because I think everybody, especially believers, well, I think everybody should be part of a local church, part of God's local church. But it's to help them where you have influence on other people's lives. And I'll use this home group that Dan goes to and Chris and I occasionally go to up in Fulton, run by Chris Combs, who some of you know. There's probably 5-6 different churches that are represented there from people who go to different churches. It's never about joining the church that Chris goes to. It's never brought up. It's about helping people to be better fathers and mothers, disciples, mentors, where God has planted them. That's what's important. The truth is, we want to make disciples of all nations. I mean, that's what the Great Commission says, go into all the nations and make disciples of all people, Matthew 28:16. See, it works, and I know it works. You know, I have had fathers in the churches I was committed to that have gone with me and been there with me through thick and thin, through flirting with death more than once. Who stood in faith, and that's why I'm here today, because they had faith and I had none. Who believed in God and trusted God when I was struggling. And I doubt that I'm the only person here that's ever struggled. I've had fathers that were, and have fathers that were not part of the church I was committed to, where God planted me, who have also been there with me through thick and thin. And all of them helped me to be a better Christian, a better follower of Christ, a better mentor, a better discipler, a better father, better at building the kingdom of God. See, my relationship with James Jackson, Scott Musselman, Phil Schaefer, the pastor of North, the various folks I go to Colorado with, the people I meet with, and other things, this thing called Love Inc. we're working on, the Christian Ministry of Fellowship. I don't do that to clone myself. I don't do that to clone them. I do that because I want to be expanded. And quite honestly, in a very positive way, to influence them with the truths that God has given me. Not in a manner of arm wrestling them to the floor until they cry, Grandpa, Grandpa. An example is, I know he wouldn't mind, you know, Scott Musselman. You know? The Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to blow it again. But he now says the Lord's Prayer is John 17. And the one in, Matthew 6? I think it's 6. Matthew 6 is the model prayer. But John 17 is the prayer that Jesus prayed. It's the Lord's Prayer. Just my opinion. It's not worth arguing about. If you don't believe it, fine. It's no big deal. But we can have influence. It's about helping us to be better people where God has planted us. And I'm better here because of these men and women's influence in my life. Trust me, I am. Because they've helped me to grow in faith. They've helped me to expand my horizons. They've helped me to dream bigger. They've helped me to be a better father where God has planted me. They've helped me to see Scripture clearer. Also, I want to make it clear that I'm not attacking structure here. Now, what do I mean by that? We need the local church. It's extremely important. Again, back to December 5th, if you want to look at that again, see what I'm talking about. It's vitally important. I really believe that Acts 2, 42 to 47, the scriptures, basically, only work when you have structure. When you have fathers and mothers who do what they are called to do. When you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. You know, we're blessed here because we have a variety of pastors and teachers here, fathers and mothers. And we have Pat Bryson who provides our prophetic oversight, but we have prophetic people here. Now, I'm praying in, and I ask you to do the same concerning apostles and evangelists. Because I believe God has given all five of those offices for the benefit of the local churches. Again, our goal. The reason we father is not to protect what we have, but it is to release to others what God has given us, to encourage others to go farther, to dream bigger dreams. Like it says, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, but go farther unto the second and third generation. Again, we're to empower, not to protect. We're not to control, we're to cast seed. That's what fathers and mothers do. And this gets to what we're trying to unpack. Because, no offense to anybody, but too many people really don't know how to be fathers or mothers. That's part of what the unpacking we're doing with the small groups. And those are evolving, and we'll have more information on those. The Chapman's is meeting on Sunday the 16th. It'll be a potluck and the home group afterwards. I guarantee food will always be associated with home groups, as long as I'm pastor here anyway. But they don't want us to be que sera, sera. They don't want us to be lukewarm like it says in Revelation 3:16. We don't want to be people who just tread water in the faith waiting for Jesus to return. Paul kind of rebuked the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. About that. Not that we can't look forward, not can we can't desire. I'm looking forward to when Jesus returns, whenever that is. Like I said, if it was during this message, before I finish this message, that'd be fine with me. But instead, we are called to be partakers of the fire of God. Who wants the fire of God? And not only that, but then as fathers and mothers, we're to release the fire of God. To release it to people. See, fathers and mothers should be the first ones to give of the Spirit's fire. To share the heart, the love, the grace, the mercy, the power of the triune God. To demonstrate the environment that comes when you walk your life out with Christ as the center and God as your Father, capital F. It's not about rules and regulations. Yes, there's commandments, and I understand that. But being fathered helps us to understand what Jesus did. Helps us understand that at one point in time, before we knew the Lord, that our righteousness was as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. But now we're the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. All because of the love, grace, and mercy of God through faith, not works. But all that, as we walk into that, helps us to go, I want to follow his commandments. And fathers and mothers help us to understand that and to walk that out and how to serve one another. A problem that's sometimes getting away is because people can have difficulty with relationships. And I personally believe that part of that reason has nothing to do with whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. I think it has to do with things of the heart. Because relationship is of the heart. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable getting in touch with your heart and developing relationships based upon the heart. But that's what Jesus wants the cross for. This relationship is about what we should be building as fathers, as mothers, through demonstration, through teaching. But then comes a really important part, prayer. We pray. Praying that God gives us fathers and mothers. Praying that God makes us fathers and mothers. Praying that God gives us sons and daughters. Praying that God makes them fathers and mothers. And praying, 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 and never stop praying, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That's out of the NLT. Because we never want to be stagnant. We never want to be lukewarm. We never want to be sarah, sarah. And yes, I understand that as we go through life, that we can feel like we're treading water. Another reason we need to have fathers and mothers in our lives, because they will help us to take new ground. They will help us to dream the big dreams. They will help us to build the local church in the kingdom of God. It's back to the home group. Why I believe that every person here should be involved. Because that's where so many things are going to happen that can't happen on Sunday morning. That's where hearts are going to be knit together. That's where you're going to find your fathers and mothers. That's where you're going to be father and mother. That's where you're going to learn so many things. That's where your gifts are going to be released. That's where people will be that want to help you to walk into your full anointing and not control you. So pray. Think about who are the people that God has put in your life that has loved you through it all, that has walked with you through everything. And those who know me, read my book, whatever, you know I've gone through a lot. And I'm here because there have been men and women of God that have never given up on me. Starting with Randy Haber. When I told him things that would burn your ears before I was a believer, and he was talking about this Jesus person. And I've repented over that. And he loved me through it all. And a year later, he was there to start the fathering, to start the mothering. Pray, ask who your fathers and mothers are. Pray, ask who God is going to connect you with to be their father and mother. Because we need it all. And in this year of transition, not the year of the rat, we're going to grow in this. Some things may get redundant, but there's some things we need to readjust on things we've done. But out of this is going to come a whole lot of stuff. A whole lot of stuff, I guarantee it. Part of that is healing. Part of that is his power. Part of that is all kinds of things. We're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to be doing that a whole lot more frequently than we have. There is 11 of us, I think, that went to a training over in Sedalia last weekend. Was it last weekend? Boy, it seems so long ago. Last weekend. And there's a simple little tool that we learned that it's not that you can't do something else. It's just that we've seen the success was developed by a guy named Randy Clark, who heads up Global Awakening, who has seen a lot of success. It's the thing that